Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Bleeding Blue. This is a show about the history of the New York Football Giants. My name is Justin Penick alongside my great friend. I was going to say co-host.
No, I'm not that.
You're a great friend of mine.
Yeah, I think we're better friends than co-hosts.
So. I would agree with that. Nikki Snacks, how are you doing, my friend?
Good. Good. Really good. Not really. Miserable. Tired. Yep. My body hurts. Don't know why. Haven't really drank much lately, so maybe I'm having withdrawals, like Bobby said.
That is true. I'm proud of you though, because you're much sharper.
I am.
You're much sharper when you don't drink. I'm doing this.
Yeah, do it.
I like to look at you.
Yeah, fuck.
I really like to look at you. You have such a beautiful face. Your hair's looking good today.
Thank you. I took my time doing it. What are we talking about today?
We are talking about Super Bowl 25 today. The New York Football Giants defeated the Buffalo Bills by a score of 20-19.
Score Jami.
Tampa, Florida. Say that again.
Score Jami. Score Gami.
That there you go.
Yeah. Is it? I don't know. 19's a weird number. So
there were a lot of records that were kind of broken in the Super Bowl for numerous reasons.
Yes.
Snacks doesn't think it was a thrilling game.
It wasn't. The end was great. I'm sorry. Okay.
Right, we're going to fight about this.
Let's just
right now.
Get it over with now.
We're going to fight about it.
The game itself was rather boring. It was a great football game, yes, absolutely. But it was rather boring. I don't care what you say. The
disagree.
Giants held the ball, an NFL Super Bowl record, which I...
We're
almost here, positive.
Well, here's our bias. It is a record. How about that?
It's a record.
39 minutes, something like that.
42 and a half minutes.
Was it 42?
Time of possession, yes.
I thought it was like 39.
So when one team has the ball that long... How is it such a good game? There were no... There. Off the top of my head, I could think of two plays that I was like, wow.
Here's where I very much disagree. Adamantly disagree.
Go ahead. I'm right, you're wrong, so it doesn't matter.
You watched the full game. You watched the full game, right?
Yes, I did.
That's what we do when we do like these rewatchables, recaps, whatever we come on, we talk about it. We rewatch it. I love rewatching the old games too because, you know, you get to see how football was played. And, you know, these are also our football heroes.
This is right.
Really, they are.
This is right.
So, your argument for a team holding the ball for, you know, 40 minutes, you just look at the way the Buffalo Bills played the game, which their style was hurry up, tempo, go, go, go.
They literally ran like a no huddle, and the broadcast even said Jim Kelly calls his own plays. So,
it's not that the Bills just didn't move the ball. It's not that the Bills didn't score. It's just that their way of playing the game was in direct contrast how the Giants played the game.
Yeah. Two completely different.
So it's not like the Giants defense. Now, don't get me wrong. The Giants defense did absolutely kick their ass. And that is also, that is why I find this game to be so. I was really thrilled by the second half rolls around. I was encapsulated with this game. Is that a word?
Probably not.
And the reason why is because it was just a battle on both. It was a battle on both sides.
Yeah.
For the first half, I'm thinking these Giants secondary players, a poor Andre Reed. He just every fucking time he's targeted,
he just gets
lit up. And that was part of the game plan. That was part of the game plan that Belichick had of
smack him in the
kind of
mouth.
Just, we're going to let Thurman Thomas kind of run around the yard, which he did. But we're going to prevent the big play. And really, the only big play that was, there was a 60-something yard play.
That tip catch.
Yeah, and it was, and that's kind crazy. Of like a fluky
yeah,
play,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it just landed in the guy's hands.
It was, you know, good, really good throw by Kelly. Great catch by Lofton to get it off the tip from the Giants' defender. But that was it. You know, that 60-yard play.
They didn't score a touchdown that drive either.
No, they did not. They did not. And that's huge. That's huge.
We'll get to that because that ball... That pass, that they were on like the 3-yard line.
Yeah. So the Giants secondary players and defense players, they were just beating the shit out of these skill position players.
They were.
Really hitting them. And then in the second half, I'm making a note of like, oh my God, you know, these Bills defenders, they're swarming to the football. Mark Bavaro was even hurt at one point, came out for a play, came back in for the next one.
Psycho.
Jeff Hostetler, who was gonna get an award, was getting beat and battered all game. Now, I do think he was playing hurt. If I remember back from America's game, he was playing hurt.
Yes, and it's funny. So, Jeff Hostetler absolutely got his ass kicked from the opening drive to the last drive. And his backup was actually at one point warming up because Hostetler was on the ground for a while in the first half.
And the backup quarterback looked more like a punter. Than
yes, he did. He did not look like a quarterback. but, yeah, Hostetler... He was a tough son of a bitch, man. He kind of reminded me of Eli getting assaulted in San Fran in the 2011 NFC Championship game. But just a very overall crazy, crazy event. Like, just him. I felt bad. They showed his parents.
All right, so I'm going to give the... what's the award that I'm giving here, Snacks?
I don't know.
I'm gonna do the Take a Shot for Every Time award.
Uh-huh.
And take a shot for every time that Jeff Hostetler looked like he was about to die.
Yeah, you'd be hammered.
And then they did show his parents. And they didn't. I couldn't really read their faces, but I'm like, they're definitely thinking that their son is not coming home tonight.
They were horrified. Horrified. And Hostetler, at the end of the game, I think Big Blue VCR tweeted this out. Shout out Big Blue VCR. But am I mistaken that in the post-game like interview, Hostetler all but admitted to having a concussion?
Oh, probably.
I mean, 100%. Definitely. Without a doubt. Yeah, but the fact that he, like, admitted it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I mean, you can't do that now or else NFL will sue the Giants or something.
They'll
like
probably
that.
Murder the player. Yeah.
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 Take him out.
CTE.
So you don't have a future lawsuit.
Yeah. I have CTE.
You do?
Well.
And you're going to be jumping through tables this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're the New York Bills now, so.
You're.
I promised if we got Dable and Shane and everybody, I will start going through tables.
And if you can't read between the lines, that's why we're doing Super Bowl 25.
Correct.
Because we are the Bills South. So
you guys didn't understand that, did you?
No,
definitely not.
Wasn't definitely right there in their face.
Maybe Tuto did. Tuto's
very wise.
He's sharp.
He's watching with his rugby guys right now.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, take a shot for us, Tuto.
But that's
and the rugby
such a,
guys.
You don't realize how bad of a take that is to say that this game was boring.
All right, it wasn't boring, but the thrilling excitement level was not.
Man,
come on!
It's a classic football game.
Oh, no question. That's not my argument.
I went on a CBS Sports article, and I forget who wrote it, but it was written February 10th, 2022, about ranking the best Super Bowls of all time, is ranked number 5.
Yeah, and that makes sense.
But you just said it was a boring game.
Okay, maybe boring's not the right word, but you're talking about it as like it was this electrifying football game. Electrifying.
It's you know football.
What was, yeah, I agree.
Quintessential football.
That's my kind of football too. I love it. But from the outsider's eye, if you're not a Giants fan, you're not a Bills fan, you're just a football fan that you likes football, that probably is not your style. When I think of exhilarating in my lifetime, you know what I think of? The Panthers-Patriots. That Super Bowl, back and forth,
right.
back and forth.
Scoring points.
Okay, yeah, but there was also big explosive plays.
Right, and so it's and almost like
me,
what I said.
Okay, boring's not the right word. Maybe exhilarating.
It's almost what I said last week about how I fell in love with the game of football is because of 2011 Eli Manning slinging the ball around the yard.
Yeah.
This game is literally the exact opposite of that. But it's also like I was watching it being like, I'm almost more impressed by teams that can do what the Giants did against such explosive teams because that is honestly the best way to win in football. It is producing the big plays, scoring points. I mean, obviously, you know, a team that scores more points at the end of the day that wins, right?
Doesn't That's usually
matter.
The end goal. Yeah.
Doesn't matter if it's 38-35 or if it's 38-0, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's just if you score more points.
That's
so.
Usually the winner, yeah, correct.
I find it to be way more impressive that the fact that the Giants did it how they did it. There was a The line was Bills minus six
minus
and a half.
Minus 6.5, yeah.
Minus and 6.5.
The Giants were no slouch either in the regular season.
No, they went 12 and 4.
I think 13-3.
13-3.
Yeah, they were a very good football team. Yeah. And I guess the Sims injury, maybe that inflated the line to the Bills.
I mean, also the Bills scored, and this is, you know, we can talk more about the you know, the Bills roster now. They scored 44 points and 51 points respectively in their two playoff games.
Mind-boggling.
And the Giants scored, they kicked the Bears' ass.
Yes, and then they scored 15 against the Niners against the 49ers. Yeah.
So I guess, you know, Vegas is looking at it as like, we're, the Bills are just on fire.
Maybe in 1991, Vegas didn't know that defense wins championships. Just like the Bengals won yesterday. Call them a shot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, they won.
They won?
Yeah, this is going on right now. The Super Bowl was yesterday, and the Bengals won.
All right. Guess he didn't watch. Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed.
Unbelievable.
Three Hall of Famers on the offense side of the ball. Kent Hull.
Center, right?
Was an all-pro center for them. And then Bruce Smith was a Hall of Famer on the defense side of the ball, too.
Yep.
I mean, and just an insane football team.
I was saying before we started recording, that Buffalo Bills team, that core, has to be one of the biggest what-ifs in NFL history. They made four Super Bowls and didn't win one.
They didn't get one.
And they have all those Hall of Famers. That's crazy to me. Then you look at a team like, I know we talk about it ad nauseum and we did last week, but then you look at a team like the 2011 Giants. And they beat the greatest dynasty in football. Yeah. But Andre Reed, Thurman Thomas, Jim Kelly, Bruce Smith, that core of players didn't win them one Super Bowl. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy to me.
It's almost as haunting as 13 seconds.
Oh, my God.
Did you see that there was some reporter from USA Today Sports? She seems really nice, and I kind of like laughed at it first, but it's so fucked up.
She's single?
I don't know.
Anyway.
Oh, she doesn't have a gazillion followers, so maybe you have your shot.
Yeah.
She was at Radio Row for the Super Bowl, and Josh Allen was apparently making the rounds. And
quarterback Josh Allen.
Yeah, quarterback Josh Allen, not the pass rusher.
No, who we should have drafted. Anyway, go ahead.
And she was like, can we have a moment of silence? And then Josh Allen's like, 13 seconds?
Uh-huh.
And she's like, yes. And I don't know what the context was, because that was just the clip that was tweeted out. But that's like fucked up.
That is fucked up. But you know what? Good for Josh Allen. He's been
a good sport.
And you know what? Good for the Chiefs, too. I read that Chiefs fans like donated like close to $250,000.
Clem did, too.
Yeah. Clem, that's right. Yes, Clem started.
Well, Clem did it because we took basically everything that they had good going on there.
Yes, we took Shane. We took Dable. Yeah. Attach it to hip, but a lot of Bills stuff. So... just again, my point that blows me away that they did not win one Super Bowl, 0-4.
Ray Bentley is one of the scariest motherfuckers I've ever seen in my life with that eye black.
Yeah, he's a nightmare. And he had the neck roll, and he had the old school face mask with the, the bar and the, he's a scary dude. I wouldn't want to be in a fight with him.
Speaking of bar.
Oh, Matt Barr. It might not have been a touchdown, but the opening kickoff, he leveled the kick return.
It would have been a huge return.
It would have been huge.
And, you know, I thought, because I watched, you know, you watch the game today and, you know, the ball's moved up, 5-10 yards from where it used to be?
Yep.
So, you know, you see all these kicks and they're catching them at the 9-10 yard line. They're like, those are bad kicks, but I guess they weren't bad kicks. The field goal kickers, the legs weren't as stronger. You know, Matt Barr's longest from that year was like 49 yards, which comes into play down the line.
Scott Norwood,
yep.
They said something about, on the broadcast, when we get to
which
it.
Which, that's huge. Yep. That's huge. But even, like, there was a fourth down decision that the Giants had in the second half.
They punted.
Where it was 4th and 2. No, they went for it.
No. I'm thinking of Buffalo, because I wanted to get to that.
Right,
too.
So, it was like a 54-yard field goal. I'm like, maybe do you kick that field goal, Bill? No, he went for it 4th and 2, because Matt Barr's longest of that year was 49 that's yards crazy. In 1990. But he makes that awesome opening tackle, and it was an insane tackle.
It really was. Like, he
single bar face.
Single bar. And Al Michaels, I think it was Al Michaels, maybe it's Dan Dierdorf, he goes, he said, Matt Barr considers himself an athlete, not just a kicker.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back and look at that play, just watch the opening kickoff.
Yeah,
he levels the guy. Legit levels him.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And speaking of which, we didn't get to it, but Whitney Houston's national anthem, the greatest ever. That was this game. So, rest in peace. She's dead, right?
Yeah, she is peace. She is peace.
Peace. Yeah.
She is peace. I can't speak today.
Peace, 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 peace.
Whitney Houston's national anthem was the national anthem that played every game before my Pop Warner game in Port Reading.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I feel like that was not a common thing? They just use, like, if you were to use just the sample national anthem before.
Whitney Houston's the one.
Like, you just go to the Whitney Houston
one. We use hers for our fantasy draft. We do it before, we use hers. My high school band did the national anthem.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a high school band, it's different, but if you don't have a band.
You didn't have a band?
Well, I'm talking about Port Reading, Pop Warner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's what we did the national anthem with.
You probably sucked at football.
No, I was good. I was a very good technique player. I didn't have that mean streak in me, surprise. I feel like that's a shock. I don't have that mean streak in me.
That doesn't shock me at all.
Yeah. I was very good in shorts, as they like to say.
Okay, that's good. I'm done.
Very good in shorts.
You can do the rest of the episode. I'm done.
Hmm.
By the way, real quick, if you're wondering about our setup today.
Yeah, I'm getting rid of this.
We are in Clark, New Jersey.
Sure, just dox me and where I live.
Shit, I didn't think of that.
That's all right.
Julian, you can edit that out. Just like bleep it where we are.
No, I don't care.
I mean, hey, Clark's a big town. They're not going to find you. Shit, I give my address away to people.
You do give your address away to people.
You want my address, DM me.
You give it away too often. You want to fight people. All right, what do we want to talk about? Where do we want to go?
I want to talk about my shithead award real quick.
Let's talk about your shithead.
It's not so much what they didn't do, mm-hmm. or he didn't do. He was just a non-factor. Lawrence Taylor.
Wow.
I know this is
when you said non-factor, I'm like, all right, I get it now.
He was a non-factor. He had one tackle.
And he also had one play where he almost had a strip sack. And it's so this is the, we talk about the aura and the allure of Lawrence Taylor a lot on the show.
That's why controversial.
Dating back to last offseason. And I don't think there's anybody else, possibly in NFL history,
okay.
where the stadium gasp, like there was a collective like, when he was ready to strip Jim Kelly in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it would have been. Yeah, that would have been game.
Where it was like, and then you heard the letdown when Jim Kelly steps up in the pocket and escapes the pocket. Yeah. Oh,
yep.
It was. I've never heard that before of any football player.
Crazy. It just goes to show you that people legitimately. I mean, it's the Super Bowl, of course, but even just overall, people paid to see Lawrence Taylor play in person. He was that crazy. But he was just, listen, he was just a non-factor. I'm not like criticizing him or anything. It's a shithead, maybe a strong word, but he's the greatest football player of all time. He didn't do anything. So, sorry. I call it like I see it.
Yeah, the game plan wasn't necessarily to get I don't think the game plan was to get LT going.
No.
You know what I mean?
And I don't even think Buffalo did anything extravagant to stop him either. They had a game plan for LT. But
I was looking at Bruce Smith on when the Giants were on offense and how Jumbo Elliott, when he was 1v1, did a relatively good
job.
But also the Giants did also a really good job of having running back help and pass pro, tight end help at times. I know Howard Cross and Mark Bavaro were very involved in the game. And then also with guard help too on those pass plays. He was getting doubled a lot. But when there were certain plays where the broadcast did a good job of kind of showing I remember David Deal versus DeMarcus Ware.
Yep.
And anytime there's a premier pass rusher during Sunday Night Football, they would show all right, here's what this edge rusher's doing. And they did the same thing with Jumbo Elliott here. And there was a couple, even in a run play, where Jumbo Elliott's kicking the shit out of Bruce Smith, and it's a really good rep. So
there was
Hall of Famer.
Yeah, and they held him in check except one play.
The safety.
And there's a big point about that because Bruce Smith comes around the edge, and he grabs Hostetler's hand that had the ball in it.
Mm-hmm.
It was this close from being a touchdown as opposed to safety. So Hostetler, concussed and broken, beaten, battered, the fact that he had the wherewithal to hold on to that football in the end zone, he gets my game ball.
Wow.
Yeah. Dude,
that is the play of the game. If you kind
of
want to
think
about it.
If they score that touchdown, Giants probably don't win.
Yeah.
You know, it was just 2 points is a lot less than seven.
It's second biggest play of the game.
Yeah, probably.
Because I'm going to talk about who gets my game ball.
Scott Norwood.
No. Disagree. Even though, he would be a close second for me.
Oh, I know what you're going to say. Say it.
Mark Ingram. Third and 13.
Big play.
Giants are in the middle of the longest drive in Super Bowl history, at least at the time. I have a feeling the Patriots topped it.
I think so. Against us.
I have a feeling the Patriots topped it in 2011.
We're not
fact-checking
though.
No, because we're a Giants history podcast, and we want to promote the Giants.
Yep. Fuck you guys. Not the listeners and viewers.
The world.
No, the world, yeah.
Talking Giants versus the world.
Yeah.
I don't have a Talking Giants versus the world sticker.
Yeah. Well.
Here's a magnet.
Throw it out.
Here's two bleeding blue stickers.
Oh, shout out Chris Mickle, yep.
Chris Mickle. We got to get like formal Bleeding Blue stickers.
Those are really nice, though.
Nice. They're beautiful. I have it right up. You see that candle right there? Oh, don't hurt yourself.
Yeah, I see it.
All right, yeah. That's where that Bleeding
Blue sticker is. Mine's on my laptop.
Love it.
Yes. Thank you, Chris Mickle.
3rd and 13. And in my opinion, it's Steve Smith and Mark Ingram that have the two most important third down conversions in franchise history. Mm-hmm. But no doubt this one does take the cake. Mark Ingram, 14-yard catch on 3rd and 13. Made four guys miss on a crossing route where he caught the ball over the middle of the field.
Crazy play.
And then he kind of just dives forward. Yep. Guys grab it onto his ankle, dives forward for that first down. Bavaro has a holding call during that drive. Giants don't do anything on first or second down. Hostetler has a play where I think he kind of scrambles up the middle, doesn't really go anywhere. And then, boom, it's Ingram that makes it happen. And he caught the ball well before the first down.
Oh, yeah. I would say, what, 7 yards?
Yeah.
8 yards, maybe?
So he had to go those extra 6 yards dodging four guys.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable, strong, crazy, amazing play. Yeah. That, you know what? Good on you for that game ball. That's a good one.
But you want to know what happens before that play? Shortly before that play, in the same drive. One of your favorite moments in franchise history.
Oh. Was it the...
Yeah.
It was that drive, yeah.
It was the... What did I call it? I called it the forearm uppercut what they called it on the broadcast. Gave that forearm uppercut to end the play on it. It was a 24-yard run from the Giants 47. Huge hole.
Yeah.
Al Michaels dropped the line. Is he 34 or 24? Because Thurman Thomas, Hall of Famer, is on the other
side. That's how he ran.
I found that to be very funny and very good.
Al Michaels is the GOAT.
This was the Otis Anderson practice pants postseason run.
Oh, is it?
Do you remember that story?
I remember the story, yeah, but I... Wow, okay.
So during the Bears game, Keith Hamilton.
The Hammer.
No, not him. Rodney Hampton.
Rodney Hampton. Not Keith Hamilton.
Rodney.
You can't speak today.
Hampton. I said Hamilton, right?
Yeah.
God damn it.
We're a fucking Giants history podcast, and you can't even get the guys' names right.
Rodney Hampton is starting running back for this year. You know, there's the two-headed monster.
Yes.
I mean, even Maggett was involved throughout.
Maggett. Dave Maggett.
Was involved throughout the season as well.
My God.
Hampton breaks his leg against the Bears, and Anderson realizes that during that playoff game that he has practice pants on.
Yes.
And he doesn't have time to change them.
Nope.
So then he's got to play the game in those practice pants. They win. Bill says, "Don't change those fucking pants."
Yeah. It's kind of like me. I don't change. The Giants win. I keep everything the same this week.
Sure.
That's a great story, though.
Yeah. And you could literally tell.
Yeah, it was a difference. Yeah.
He's not wearing the same pants. No. They're like baggier and they're dirty, and everybody else has like those clear white pants. So that was the Otis Anderson practice pants playoff run. Yep.
And he was Super Bowl MVP.
I think
well deserved, too.
Yeah,
because Hostetler had a solid game. He's also very athletic. I didn't really realize how athletic Hostetler was.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of had to be. Yes, wasn't the best thrower of the ball.
No, I was just going to bring that up. He missed a lot of open receivers, a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, he did his job, and you know what? Now I think about it, it was a good game. It wasn't exhilarating.
That was one of your worst takes.
I really don't think it's that bad of a take.
Because you said the word boring.
I said the word boring, but I
and you're walking back.
I walked back boring.
Because it's such a... All right, so let's even just talk about like this drive up. And again, quintessential football.
Yes.
Quintessential football about how it used to be played. And people want to say the good old days of defense, time of possession, controlling the clock.
Yeah.
It's so tough to do, but the Giants fucking did it to a T against a team that does everything the opposite of what they were doing. And that's why it was so awesome. So Otis Anderson had that 24-yard run, but took the Giants 5 plays to get to midfield. Then the 24-yard run happens, and you're like, okay, a score is going to happen soon, right?
You would think.
They ran 8 plays between the Buffalo 34-yard line, the Giants did, on that long 9-minute drive. They ran 8 plays between the Buffalo 34-yard line when they scored, and they didn't even go for it on fourth down.
It's crazy.
They didn't even go for it on fourth down.
It's just crazy.
And the 3rd and 13 play is kind of stamped in the middle of that as well. Yeah. Holding call, makes it another play as too.
What kind of drive was that?
What do you mean? It was a scoring drive. Is it presented by somebody? Do we have a sponsor?
You are so off your game.
I am off my... Well, you're not drinking, so you're on your
game. I'm on my game. I'm not drinking.
All right, tell me about it.
It was a championship drive.
Ah!
You stupid.
Drive ends in an OJ 1 yard touchdown. The color commentator, I believe it's Dierdorf.
Dan Dierdorf. Hall of Famer.
Goes, this is a championship drive. Yep. This is a Super Bowl drive. Giants held the ball for almost 14 minutes of game time straight through. Goes from the last kind of 4 minutes of the first half.
Yeah.
And then
they get the kickoff, the ensuing second half kickoff.
The 9 minutes straight in the third quarter.
Crazy.
And that was the longest drive, that 9 minute drive to start the second half.
I want to shout out, because we talk about Bill Belichick all the time and how amazing his defensive game plan was, and it is, absolutely. But why don't we give some credit to the offensive coordinator, too? Ron Earnhardt.
It's Earhart.
Earhart. That's
first time I'm correcting you.
E-R-H-A-R-D-T.
Earhart. Earhart Perkins, like, system.
Whatever.
That's what Brian Daboll runs, actually.
Well, we're fucked. But why don't we give him some credit?
Yeah.
He had a limited quarterback. He made it work. They had a game plan to keep those scumbags off the field, and they executed it to perfection.
Yeah.
So, shout out, Ron. Since we've never talked about you ever, we should.
So, second half is more exciting than the first half. That's kind of why I'm going like
through.
Yes,
that is for sure.
Through some notes of the second half. First half, it was, like I said, it was just punishing plays of the Giants just killing Andre Reid. That's boring.
Pretty much,
all right. Following drive, Leonard Marshall gets a sack on a 3rd and 18 to force a punt.
Giants' only sack of the game, by the way.
And man, was Leonard Marshall clutch during the postseason.
Yes, he was.
3 sacks total in each of the Giants' postseason runs that they went on to win Super Bowls in. So I'm going to give another award.
Okay.
The Spider-Man meme award. Can you tell me about that meme?
Yeah, it's when the Spider-Man is pointing at the other Spider-Man who's pointing back at him.
Yes.
The same fucking thing.
I told you who was getting the award before the show, so I'm not going to ask you who's going to get it.
No, I know who it is.
So, Justin Tuck and Leonard Marshall.
Boom.
They get the Spider-Man meme award.
Yup.
Why?
Because they had very similar clutch moments in the playoffs and the Super Bowl. And, you know, we know what Justin Tuck did. Now we're telling you what Leonard Marshall did, if you weren't alive to see it like us. So, I like this award a lot.
I also feel like they have very similar careers.
Yeah, yeah. I would say so. They're not like Hall of Fame dominant players, but they were as rock solid as you could possibly be.
Yeah.
Now, stupid question. Is Leonard Marshall in the Ring of Honor?
Yes.
He is, right?
Has to be.
He has to be, yeah. I thought so. I just wanted to make sure.
He has like almost 20 more sacks more than Justin Tuck does.
Yeah, but like we were saying, there was a lot more sacks.
In a game that there was a lot more sacks, but still, I mean, just the
quarterbacks,
fact that
when Tuck was here, they got the ball out a lot quicker.
In a defense with Lawrence Taylor. You got to share sacks.
Yeah.
And Leonard Marshall certainly had some really awesome clutch moments. And Justin Tuck, too. Justin Cluck.
Well, here we go.
It's really clutch moments in the postseason.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I'm pointing back there, but probably because there's maybe a graphic behind me.
You got a clock back there?
There's a graphic behind me.
Oh, my God.
One of my favorite graphics is detailing Justin Tuck's, I think, just solely his Super Bowl numbers in the 2 games that he played.
Yeah, our argument can be made that he was MVP of both games.
Yeah, and it sucks that Super Bowl 46, they don't count the safety as a sack.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
He also had another sack in that game.
Yeah.
Or you can make an argument, I think, more or less in 46 than 42, that he could have been the MVP. But Eli did have a much better game in 46 than 42.
Nah, Eli deserved it both times. So it's not whatever. I have one more award.
You have one more award.
Not done.
No, and then we're just going to wrap up with some other stuff in the fourth quarter.
Yes, I want to give my Muggsy Bogues. Am I saying his name?
Sure.
You remember him, Muggsy Bogues?
No. Tell me about him.
He was like 5'3" and played in the NBA.
Yeah.
Midget.
Love it.
Midget. And I'm giving it to Dave Meggett because he was pretty short. And he was fun to watch. He actually had a very underrated game with the punt returns, kick returns. He only carried the ball 9 times, but at 48 yards.
Efficient.
And he had 2 very big receptions. Yep. So
one of them was on a 3rd down, like a 3rd and 6, where he broke some tackles.
I wanted to shout out Dave Meggett.
Yeah.
Muggsy Bogues Award, midget.
I think he was talked a lot in the No Medals for Trying book.
Dave Meggett?
From 1989, yeah.
He was an underrated player.
This young kind of up-and-coming guy that the Giants like, and they can use him in a couple different ways.
Yeah, well, they were saying it on the broadcast how much Parcells loved him. So.
Yeah, yes, so that does not surprise me that they talked a lot about him in that No Medals for Trying book. Okay.
Let's get to that fourth quarter.
Giants get the ball back. They have a 4th and 2 at the Buffalo 35-yard line. Matt Barr's long in 1990 was 49 yards. Don't think it was smart to kick a 52-yard field goal.
No, probably not.
54.
Probably not.
But that was a clear go decision, right? From the Buffalo 35.
Yeah.
What, are you going to punt it? If it's a touchback, it's a 15-yard.
Net gain, right.
Net gain. So it was just a bad execution on that. Mark Bavaro, I think, was supposed to block Bruce Smith, and Bruce Smith makes a tackle on Otis Anderson on that 4th and 2.
Mm-hmm. That was a nice tackle.
Thurman Thomas, after that 4th down, because then, momentum could be switching again, because momentum was clear on that Giants side, where they just hold the ball for basically a quarter straight.
Yeah, and they pretty much had momentum all game. So.
But Thurman Thomas gets a 31-yard touchdown. Shows why he is Thurman Thomas.
Yes, very good player.
That was a much more impressive run than that Otis Anderson run where he just gives the forearm at the end. But Thurman Thomas breaks a couple tackles and he shows off beautiful combination of speed and power that he had.
He was unbelievable.
It was awesome.
And he missed a couple plays in the first half. The Giants were beating him up so bad, but he made him pay in the fourth quarter.
Buffalo leads by 2, 19-17 at the start of the fourth quarter.
Scorigami.
Giants have a 6-plus-minute drive, which is, again, huge. It's following a Buffalo score, so you're keeping that fast-paced tempo offense off the field. And then when they have to come on the field, they have to find kind of their tempo
rhythm.
Again. Yep. And the Giants' defense is also just rested, and they're ready to go. Matt Barr caps off a drive with what would be the game-winning field goal. Giants lead by 1. So fast forward to the last drive of the game, because there's two drives that happen.
But there's really nothing of note there.
Just, football, high-intensity football that's played in the fourth quarter. So the Bills start the final drive with around two minutes left. And the broadcast shows the stat of Scott Norwood only being 1 for 5 on field goals of 40-plus yards in his career on grass
fields. Yep.
Which I found that to be such an awesome, stat.
Yeah. I'm trying to think to myself, okay, if I was alive and seeing that stat, I mean, I would probably be throwing up before seeing it. But then seeing that, do I feel a little bit better? I would say no. I'm like, okay, he's due. he's due. Yeah. He's due to hit one.
If you're a Bills fan, you're thinking, why the fuck did you just jinx us?
Right.
Or no, maybe it will jinx. No, jinx would be if he's 5 for 5.
Yes, jinx. No, why would you maybe torment?
No. Bills fans, you're thinking, why put that out in the ether? Why just say that? Giants fans are thinking, okay, now you're going to jinx us because he's going to make it.
Yes, he's due. Yeah.
He's due.
But Michaels did say, he goes, I don't know if he has the range when he went to go kick it.
Right.
He had the range.
Right. It was accuracy. That was the issue.
Went right.
So they put that out into the ether. It took the Bills until this drive to convert a 3rd down in this game.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Which I wasn't thinking about because also you don't have the scoreboard at the bottom of the screen.
That was another point I wanted to make. Imagine watching a football game not knowing the time and score at all times.
I think you got to pay attention to it more.
Oh, yeah. No, I
you can watch a football game right now, and this is with a lot of sporting events. You can watch any sporting event now and just be on cruise control.
Oh, yeah. You could sit there on your phone all the time if you wanted.
Yeah. And know what's happening because you have the graphics in front of you and, you have the score, you have the time. They didn't have that
the timeouts. You got everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Challenges. Everything.
Yeah, it's stupid.
So took the Bills until this drive to convert a 3rd down in this game. But I also think that's part of the philosophy of what kind of Bill Belichick, maybe what he's thinking is, I'm not going to stress stopping this team on 3rd down because they probably, when the Bills were fucked, it's because they're throwing incomplete passes and they're in 3rd and longs.
Yes.
And then that's an opportunity that the Giants can pounce and then you just make the play in front of you.
Right.
Let's not allow anything to get behind us.
Nope.
And if they have a 3rd and short, then Bill's like, all right, again, I'm going to stick to my plan and just keep everything in front of me.
Yep.
Bend, but don't break. Bend, but don't break. And that was one of the earliest, concepts of that.
He is a defensive genius.
Jim Kelly found himself running for gains since they were really only rushing 3 that drive. That entire drive, the Giants were only rushing 3.
There's no pressure. This is unbelievable.
You heard the broadcast saying, why aren't they bringing more guys? Right. Why aren't they bringing more guys? But what happened is
they dropped 8.
Jim Kelly running for 6, 7 yards, 8 yards.
Kept the clock
moving. That's not going to kill you.
No, it's not. And kept the clock moving.
Kept the clock moving, which I feel like you definitely take that.
See, and Belichick must have known, too, that he's like, okay, Norwood's foot isn't reliable.
Yeah.
If they get to the 30-yard line, we still are okay. Or at least, don't let him get to the 15. So nothing behind you. And he stuck to that plan the whole goddamn game.
So?
That went right.
That was a really good throw.
It was. Wide right.
So we get to, what's 47-yard field goal? Is that the Bills? We have to do quick math. What's 47 minus 17?
No, it's 30.
30-yard line.
Shit, I said, look at me. I just said that. Wow. Fucking sharp, baby.
We're at the Bills' 30-yard line.
Yep.
Looks like snap's good. Looks like hold's good.
Everything, the exchange, everything looks good.
Wide right.
Wide right. Now, I wish the happy ref, who we didn't mention.
Damn it.
I think you tweeted it from the Bleeding Blue account. Go check it out on Twitter.
What's his name? Jimmy Seaman?
Something like that. Jimmy Seaman.
It's definitely Seaman is his last name.
I'm sure, yeah. He is so happy when he's, like, making the field goal. Like, it's good.
Every time.
He's, like, beaming with light. I wish they showed him beaming with light when he was going no good.
No good.
Yeah. Julian will put that up.
There you go. Giants are now 2-time Super Bowl champions.
Twice.
We are on top of the mountain.
Yep.
Bill Parcells, Lawrence Taylor's legacy, Bill Belichick's legacy as a defense coordinator with the Giants.
Yeah, shout out Tom Coughlin, too, wide receivers coach on this team.
Even Phil Sims.
Nah, fuck Phil.
Even Phil Sims. You know, he played most of the regular season.
He did.
Jeff Hostetler is now a hero.
Yep. Great stash.
Otis Anderson's a hero.
Yep. Giants lore forever.
And that is an episode.
What's more to say? That was good stuff.
Yes, very good. All right, we will see you next week. Next week is our Joe Morris interview.
Yes, very exciting.
Joe Morris interview.
He's a great guy.
Filmed it at the Meadowlands Diner, so that'll be the second half of the show, and then the first half of the show is going to be a snacks pantry.
That's right.
Of top five, your favorite top five plays by a
running back. So receiving or rushing, so you guys have a week to do some homework.
Yep. So what are some of your favorite plays by a running back? That'll be the first
remember,
half of the show.
Remember. Sorry.
It's okay.
It's what I've seen with these two eyes. Again, I was born in 1993.
Yeah.
So cut me some fucking slack.
All right, we will see you next week. Keep on bleeding blue. Until then, and snacks.
Fuck Tiki Barber.
Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.